blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 328, in stanzas 1, 2, and 4. Thou art my portion, Lord, and thy words I ever heed with all my heart. And thy grace I seek, thy promises I plead. 1, 2, and 4 of Psalter 328.
is to read out of God's holy and precious word from the prophecies of Isaiah chapter 43. But before that, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Isaiah 43. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee and people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Even every one that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. Bring forth the blind people that have eyes, and the deaf that have ears. Let all the nations be gathered together, and let the people be assembled. Who among them can declare this and show us former things? Let them bring forth their witnesses, that they may be justified, or let them hear and say, it is truth. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. I have declared and have saved and I have showed, when there was no strange God among you. Therefore ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. Yea, before the day was, I am he. And there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who shall let it? Thus saith the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, for your sake I have sent to Babylon, and have brought down all their nobles and the Chaldeans whose cry is in the ships. I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Thus saith the Lord, which maketh a way in the sea and a path in the mighty waters, which bringeth forth the chariot and horse, the army and the power. They shall lie down together, they shall not rise, they are extinct. They are quenched as tow. Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The beasts of the field shall honor me, the dragons and the owls, because I give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert, to give drink to my people, my chosen. This people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. But thou hast not called upon me, O Jacob. Thou hast been weary of me, O Israel. Thou hast not brought me the small cattle of thy burnt offerings, neither hast thou honored me with thy sacrifices. I have not caused thee to serve with an offering, nor wearied thee with incense. Thou hast bought me no sweet cane with money, neither hast thou filled me with the fat of thy sacrifices. But thou hast made me to serve with thy sins. Thou hast wearied me with thine iniquities. I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake, that will not remember thy sins. Put me in remembrance, let us plead together. Declare thou, that thou mayest be justified. Thy first father hath sinned, and thy teachers have transgressed against me. Therefore I have profaned the princes of the sanctuary, and have given Jacob to the curse, and Israel to reproaches. Thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord of heaven and of earth, we may be gathered once again in this evening hour in thy house of prayer, an hour of reflection. O that thou may teach us to reflect, that thou may teach us to look back, not only on this morning hour, but on our whole life. And that has gone so quickly by and is quickly going forward. Oh, then in this world, there is so little stopping. There is so little thinking. There is so little meditating. There is so little considering of thee, of thy word, of thy work, of ourselves, of our creation, of our fall, of our wretchedness, in our state of misery, and of that way of salvation, and that thou hast provided in thy dear and only begotten Son. O Lord, give us then a quiet hour in thy favor, that we may reflect a little bit, but that we may consider thy holy word. For therein didst thou say, as we have read it together, this people have I formed for myself, they shall show forth my praise. And thou hast formed us so in paradise, and we have turned it all upside down, and thou hast reformed thy own people, renewed them, given them new life. And now they are to show forth thy praise. They have an obligation. They have a duty. But it is not to be done. It cannot be done only because of duty. For they are in themselves so unable. But Lord, thou art able to make the heart burn. And then the mouth shall speak, confession shall be made, and they shall sing forth thy praises. Oh, that thou mayest make it lively, time and again in the life of thy own, that thy name may be highly honored, and that work which thou hast accomplished, that is able to deliver a man from the greatest misery, and to bring him unto the highest good. But we read in thy word that the singers were divided into courses, and so they did not sing all at the same time. And thou knowest where all thy children are. We do not know, but some of them, they may be yet from the land beyond the Jordan, bewailing their misery from the foothills of Mount Hermon, O God, thinking of thee. O thou knowest their tears, thou knowest their place. O could it please thee to visit them and remember them, for it is not always day in the life of thy children, and thou knowest it, and thou wilt care for them, for they are thine. Show thyself, could it please thee, in this evening hour, in an hour of reflection, and wilt thou also undeceive us, if it is indeed that it is not right with our soul, for we have in our hearts that which is nothing but the lie, except that thou dost make it true, a heart deceitful above all things, a heart that is desperately wicked, that would include ourselves, except that thou didst show us that we have excluded ourselves. O Lord, that thou wouldst then open unto such the true way of salvation, that there may be a bowing in true guilt before thee. Show the blackness and show the whiteness of thy dear and only begotten Son. And then, Lord, so many sitting by the wayside, and we know not what lives within the heart. Oh, then it can be that by that wayside there are blind ones, and that will in thy time cry out in their blindness. Oh, that thou may look on each and every one, that we may receive what we cannot take unto ourselves, and that the desires may be born by thy Holy Spirit. O Lord, remember us then in this evening, and when thy word is to go forth once again, then it is just a little portion, but it is such a precious portion, a portion wherein thou dost show that thou hast thy whole church in living in thy heart, that they are as those stones, and that Aaron did carry upon his breast, each one a precious stone, each one of the children of Israel, each of the tribes. O Lord, then there is not one that will be left behind, for thou knowest who that thy own are, and that thou would make us desirous to be included, and that we would seek with our whole heart. Care thou for us then in this night. Remember us also in all the needs and the cares, each one for himself in the midst of this world, that there may be a true need bound upon the heart, that we may indeed know and feel and experience that thou dost live, and that so our hearts may be brought to the tender fear of thy most holy name. Do forgive and take away all of our many, many sins. And wilt thou be feelingly and believingly in the midst of us in this evening hour, that thou may be a surprising God unto a people who are unworthy of the least of all thy notice or attention, and that thy name may be honored and glorified. And wilt thou keep us then from ourselves, take away what does hinder, what Satan would bring in to spoil all, but wilt thou give thy word a place in our hearts, and the glory of thy name to be magnified within both young and old, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let us now sing from Psalter 397, stanzas 1 through 5 and 7. O Lord, thou art my God and King, and I will ever bless thy name. I will extol thee every day, and evermore thy praise proclaim. 1 through 5 and 7 of 397 while your offerings are being received. beloved congregation, we heard when the bride had found her beloved, and that she would not let him go until we read that she had brought him into her mother's house. There she had a burning desire within her heart that she may speak, that she may, that others also may receive those same blessings. And she gave them a charge, a very solemn charge, a charge that they should be quiet and not stir up her beloved till that he please. And that was, of course, after that she had spoken about his communion. His communion. Or are we jealous in our hearts of that communion? Because tonight, then we hear that bride recommending that service of her bridegroom and her king unto those daughters of Jerusalem within that visible church in this hour of reflection. The words of our text are found in Song of Solomon chapter 3 in the verses 9 and 10. King Solomon made himself a chariot of the wood of Lebanon. He made the pillars thereof of silver, the bottom thereof of gold, the covering of it of purple, the midst thereof being paved with love for the daughters of Jerusalem. So far the words of our text. The chariot of King Solomon. First, the reason that this chariot was made. And second, the materials that this chariot was made of. The chariot of King Solomon. First, the reason it was made. And second, the materials that it was made of. King Solomon made himself a chariot of the wood of Lebanon. That is the bride speaking. She is still speaking. Or are you still speaking, people of the Lord? Because she has more to say about that bridegroom. How much do you have to say about that bridegroom? The church is sometimes very quiet. Sometimes they relate something. Maybe that happened many, many years ago. And when they may receive sometimes a little courage to speak. And then they are quiet again. And sometimes that is a great burden, that their tongue cleaveth onto the roof of their mouth. But that becomes different also in the activity of faith that we read about in this chapter. Behold, she says, his bed. Then she sees something. Then there is a renewal, and it is fresh. Behold, he cometh, leaping upon the mountain, skipping upon the hills. Then her soul is filled with substance. Oh, if she may see just a little of him, a little part of him, if he may show himself to her just a little through the lattice, then it is not difficult to speak anymore. Why? Because her heart is filled with matter. Oh, then she has substance in her heart. Then there is something for her to say. Then her heart is flowing over. David, he says, my cup that runneth over. Then those words are not empty. No, that is the most important part. Oh, sometimes the words are very few, but they are still full. Oh, there are times that the tongue of God's people is loose, and then they cannot keep quiet. And they say, I will praise the Lord with my mouth. Oh, Does that happen also sometimes, people of the Lord? King Solomon made himself a chariot, it says, of the wood of Lebanon. What does he speak about? Faith sees. It sees things. When faith is in exercise, then it sees things that I had never seen when faith is not in exercise. Then those things are so very, very hidden. Oh, there are such beautiful things to see that are brought into view when faith may be in exercise, things concerning Christ. Things concerning the salvation of the church of God. Faith that enlightens the eyes. And it gives the soul understanding. Then opened he their understandings, we read. Oh, here the bride, she receives broad views of the church. Views of the means that the Lord is using to transport the church unto himself. That bride, she begins to marvel. She does that out loud. She speaks. King Solomon made himself a chariot of the wood of Lebanon. What is a chariot? That is not as our chariots. Here it is speaking about what we call a litter. But here, in this case, it is a covered litter. It's called a palanquin. We would say it's a sort of a chariot that is not drawn by horses, boys and girls. It is a chariot that is carried by people, usually four men, or more men, if sometimes these chariots can be larger and heavier. They sometimes put them up on their shoulders. What is the purpose? What is the function of such a palanquin, a chariot? Well, that is a means of conveyance. It is a means to bring someone from one place where he is, and to bring him to another place, somewhere else. From one place to another. Some of these were just very simple, very plain. They had no covering over top of them, and those are called a litter. They were more common, and they were carrying people, usually, that could not walk. Who cannot walk, children? Well, you say maybe somebody who is sick. That's right. If they were sick, wounded, and where would they be carrying? Well, carrying them maybe to the doctor, the physician, to the hospital. Maybe they were carrying somebody that was very old and weak. Where would they be going? Well, you say maybe they have to bring them home or to someone else's place. That is right, they cannot walk. Sometimes those litters, they are used to carry the dead. Where are they going? Yeah, they are bringing the dead unto the grave. They cannot walk either. Thus such a litter. Here, it is speaking about something different. Because other times, these were an expression of the status of a person, of the glory of a person. Sometimes they were very expensively made, beautiful. Royal chariots, as it were. It was a great honor then to be carried in such a covered litter or palanquin, that is such a chariot as the bride is here referring to. What is the purpose then of this particular chariot? Well, we read this chariot, Solomon says, it is for the daughters of Jerusalem. To do what? To carry them. God's people need to be conveyed. They need to be conveyed from one place to another because they are not born and conceived into this world. When they are born into this world, that is not now the birth into a new life yet. No, they are conceived and born in sin. Oh, they are born without hope. They are born without God in this world. Oh, they need all then to be taken from the place where they are. And they need to be brought where? They need to be brought into the kingdom of God. They need to be brought unto God. They need to be brought from the place of his wrath unto the place of his favor. Palanquin. They need to be sought out. They need to be lifted out of the pit of misery. They need to be conveyed unto God's kingdom. And now that is a special journey. We make many journeys in this world. But this is a special journey of God's elect. And Christ, he has made a very special chariot, a chariot that may carry his people upon this journey. King Solomon made himself a chariot of the wood of Lebanon. So we can think about Eliezer may be going on his journey. He is going to get a bride for Isaac. And so Solomon speaks about this chariot. What is that chariot? What does that chariot signify? That signifies the way of redemption. That way of redemption that is made manifest outwardly in the gospel, in the preaching of the gospel. Thus we have the means by which the elect, they are brought into that kingdom of God. The Lord uses means for that. The Lord works, as it were, in a natural way. Oh, the elect, young people. You say, do we need to speak about the elect? Oh, is it not a wonder there are elect? That we are all not condemned as the devils, because we deserve it as well as they. There are no elect devils. No elect fallen angels. Oh, then it should be a wonder to us. But how does the Lord do that? To take his elect who are conceived and born in sin. And how does he bring them into that kingdom of God? The Lord uses means for that. Now the bride, she is in that blessed communion of faith. And then her eyes, they go open to see that whole church. Oh, and her heart that is burning for that people. Oh, she has spoken to them of that bed of Solomon. She has spoken to them of that blessed communion with the Lord. Oh, does that make us jealous? That we desire also that blessed portion of God's children. But she was jealous for you. She was jealous for the entire church. Oh, she was jealous for those daughters of Jerusalem. And thus she begins to speak about this chariot, those means. She begins to speak about how that you also can be made a partaker of those great blessings that you have beheld also in this morning hour. Oh, then she opens her mouth in love. Oh, she says, would you also like to partake of this? Oh, to be given a place also in that blessed communion, to be given access unto that bed of Solomon. Oh, she says, Solomon has made himself something for that, that you also may be partakers. Oh, she says, Solomon has made himself a chariot. Oh, just for that purpose, to bring poor sinners unto himself. Oh, they are people that need to be carried, because their own strength is not sufficient to bring them there. They cannot get there by using their own legs. They can never fulfill that law of God to perfection, that they may be received by the Lord, and the Lord say, you may now come into my communion. No, it is impossible that way that is so utterly cut off. She does not say, then it is not possible for you. No, she says, O King Solomon has given means for that, that you also may come in. Oh, she begins to speaking about that everlasting gospel. Oh, Solomon has made himself a chariot just for this purpose, to carry those daughters of Jerusalem that cannot carry themselves. Oh, at the same time, Christ is going to carry them in a royal way. Oh, they need to be carried like the sick. They need to be carried like the weak. They need to be carried like the dead. Like the dead. Do you ever feel that? Do you ever feel that? Oh, you say, so dead. There is nothing. Oh, he will carry you. He will carry you. Is that what you need? You say to be carried. Well, then you need that chariot. And that chariot that is not just one of those simple chariots, those common chariots, no. It is a royal chariot. It is a very stately chariot. Oh, there are no honors in this whole world like the honors that God's people get. You look for honors in this world. Oh, what in the world will compare to the honors of being carried in this chariot of King Solomon? What is now to be compared with the honor of being carried in the way of the redemption of the Lord's people? Oh, what is to be compared with the honor? Oh, it is despised by the world. But to be carried with honor in that gospel chariot that the Lord, that Christ himself has prepared, that he may bring his people in unto himself. King Solomon himself made himself a chariot of the wood of Lebanon for the daughters of Jerusalem. O congregation, Christ, he made and sends a chariot to gather and to carry his people. Where does he take them from? From sin to righteousness. Is that where you desire to go? From sin to righteousness. That is where he is carrying them. From pollution to purity. Is that where you desire to go? To righteousness? To purity? Carries them from Satan, the service of this world, unto the service of himself. To serve himself. Carries them from carnality to spirituality. Is that where you desire to go? To spirituality? What in your life shows that you have a desire to be delivered from carnality and to be given spirituality? What in your life shows that? You're reading in the book of God. You read then in the explanations of that holy book. Or that chariot that carries them from the prison to freedom. Is that where you desire to go? Do you feel the bondage? You desire to be delivered from the bondage? Do you desire the freedom of the true church? Do you desire the freedom from sin? Do you desire the freedom from the commission of sin as well as from the guilt of sin? That is this chariot. Where this chariot is bringing from, where it is going to, is bringing from the pit of misery into an eternal bliss, an eternal glory. Oh, that chariot. That chariot he sends. That chariot he sets before us. Before us. Every time again. That word is opened here. And that chariot is coming. It is sitting there. And it is waiting. When his word is being preached. And it is waiting to carry. It is sent there. It says, for the daughters of Jerusalem. Oh, this morning, and we saw something. Oh, it is a picture. We cannot enter into that communion. God's people cannot do that either. That does not just come even through that sacrament that has to be given by the Lord over and over again. But we have that picture of that blessed communion. Is there now a desire? I don't say just for the Lord's table. That is a blessed, blessed privilege, yes. That is a blessed gift to God's children, yes. But the outward thing, that is not the most important thing. It is now what is signified. It is now what is sealed. It is that communion. Or is there then a jealousy, a holy jealousy in our heart, that we also may be given an entrance into that blessed communion? Oh, the Lord, he is sending his chariot, and that is the reason that the Lord has made this chariot to bring poor sinners into that blessed communion. We do not remain behind because there is no chariot. A chariot is coming every Sabbath day again. You know when else that chariot is coming? When you are taking that holy book of God, you lay that open on your bed, children, young people, and you begin to read, then the chariot is coming. The chariot is waiting there. The Lord is sending that chariot for the daughters of Jerusalem. Oh, to bring a people to carry them unto himself. We don't remain behind because there is no chariot. We remain behind because we are content to remain where we are. That is why. Because we are content to be carnal. Because we are content to live, hopefully not in outward sin, hopefully not, but the bosom sins. Because we are content to live without God. Because we have no desire to have our thoughts in heaven. That is why. Because the Lord sends his chariot. The Lord sends the message of his redemption. The Lord sends his gospel. But we have no desire to go where that the chariot is going. That is why we remain behind. For our Creator, we have no desire. We have no thought, maybe. And therefore, for his Son, who has come to mediate, we see no need. No form, no comeliness in our eyes. Every week again, that chariot that is stopping here at the church, it is waiting. While that word is read, while that word is preached, that chariot is waiting to see if there is anyone that is convinced of his sin. To see if there is anyone that smites upon his breast. Or that chariot is waiting to see if there are a few tears coming down out of the cheek of the heart here in the church. The chariot is waiting while that law of God is being declared to see if there is one who will say, "O wretched man that I am," to see if there is a cry that is born. Oh, someone, oh, that says, "Oh, could I return?" To see if there is a prodigal who is thinking once again about his own father's house, waiting. for a people that say, oh, could I return unto the way of righteousness? Could I only return again unto that way of holiness? Oh, waiting to carry someone who says, I cannot walk, who says, I cannot go, who says, oh, Lord, help me. Waiting to carry someone who says, I don't know how to get there. I do not know the way. Lost. 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 King Solomon made himself a chariot of the wood of Lebanon for the daughters of Jerusalem. Oh, King Solomon, he is not thinking only about the bride. He is not only thinking about those, we would say, who are the most advanced in grace. Maybe you say, oh, that is the people of God. Well, you don't know. I don't know. But the Lord knows. But he knows not only his bride, but he knows also that there are daughters of Jerusalem. Oh, he is thinking about them too. Because they also need to be brought from that place where they are, joy in heaven, over one sinner that repented. That is his elect. He has known of them from the stillness of eternity. He has known of them. The first cry that was ever born in their heart was from him. That was the work of his own spirit. He has sent him. He said, there's one. Oh, today is a day of my good pleasure. Oh, sending his spirit to send an arrow today into the heart of his own people, living in sin, living Pharisaism, but loved with an everlasting love. And he made a chariot for these people by which he is going to pick them up and he is going to carry them and he is going to land them upon the shores of heavenly bliss. They don't know the way, but he knows the way. And so he will carry them, all directed from above. It's going to go through the wilderness. It's going to make a way in the sea. He is going to go before them. They're only going to come behind. But every one of them is going to be carried by himself. You know who cannot stop it? The devil. The devil. He will try. No temptation that lives in their heart can stop the chariot, because it is not their feet that make it go. It is carried by the Lord himself. There is not a discouragement that can live in their heart. There is not a despondency that can well up within their soul that is able to stop that chariot that King Solomon has made for the daughters of Jerusalem. Oh, the riding of that chariot that is so sure. It is made and it is sent by King Solomon himself for the daughters of Jerusalem to be carried. Though they are so ignorant of the way, though they are so helpless, oh, the bride sees that. The bride sees that when Christ is coming. Oh, when she may commune with him by the true saving faith, feelingly, believingly, may she may enjoy the presence of his own communion. And then she begins to speak of the redemption of the Lord. Oh, the redemption of the Lord, with a burning heart, unto that, unto those daughters of Jerusalem, to encourage them. Oh, to encourage them, because she says, all those little ones, they also are going to be so carried through. Then she says to them, wait. Wait on the Lord, and he shall strengthen thine heart. 73. 5 and 6. My heart had failed in fear and woe, unless in God I had believed, assured that he would mercy show, and that my life his grace should know, nor was my hope deceived. And 6. Fear not, though succor be delayed, still wait for God, and he will hear. 5 and 6 of 73. King Solomon made himself a chariot of the wood of Lebanon. You say, I thought it was for the daughters of Jerusalem. But it says here, he made himself a chariot. How can that be? Well, congregation, that chariot that has to carry wretched, poor, guilty, filthy sinners unto himself. And what is he going to do with those people? He is going to acquit them. His Father will acquit them. And he is going to renew them. That will be for whose honor? For their honor? Or for his honor? Or everything he does that is for his own church is all for his own honor. You may ask the people. Oh, we heard it from the bride already today. When faith is in exercise, then everything is to his honor. And so indeed, that is his chief delight. It is a chariot for him as well as, of course, for those daughters of Jerusalem. The chariot of the king of Solomon, of King Solomon, the reason this chariot was made, you know that now, children, right? The reason that chariot was made, will you remember that? You say, oh, could I ride also in that chariot? Second, the materials this chariot was made of. What is that? Of the wood of Lebanon. He made the pillars thereof of silver, the bottom thereof of gold, the covering of it of purple, the midst thereof being paved with love for the daughters of Jerusalem. And now we have 20 minutes. So how do we speak about all of that in 20 minutes? You say every one of them is a sermon all by itself. Oh, congregation. Boys, you ask the Lord to convert you. I never thought I had to be a minister, but it is so good sometimes. It is much labor, but to dig in that word of God, then you have to do it because you have to be ready here. Should be the other way around, right? Should drive you to the pulpit. Then there are so many things. And now you may go in that word. You may do that too sometimes. And then the more you read, the more you study, the more you may see. Then you say it is a gold mine. And so I say, where do I start here? And where shall I end? We can make it over the next many, many weeks. But we're not going to do that. I'll just tell you a little bit what it means. Maybe you want to read more about it yourself. And ask the Lord to show you what it means. A chariot of the wood of Lebanon. And what, children, is the wood of Lebanon? You can tell me that. What is the kind of wood that grows on the Lebanon mountains? Yeah, you say that is cedar wood. That is right. Solomon sent for the cedars of Lebanon. A chariot of the wood of Lebanon. Solomon used them to build the house of the Lord. Two special things about that wood of Lebanon, that cedar wood. Know what they are? One, doesn't rot. And two, has a beautiful smell. The Bible talks about the smell of Lebanon, and now a chariot of the wood of Lebanon for the daughters of Jerusalem. Remember that the daughters of Jerusalem are distinguished from the bride. You say, how? Faith? No. the true daughters of Jerusalem, they have faith too. But it is about maturity. It is all about growing up. There are steps in that life of grace. That is what the Bible speaks about. That does not mean that the faith of those daughters of Jerusalem is not active. Oh, sometimes it is very active. And now those daughters of Jerusalem, they may perceive something about that character of the gospel. The chariot, the gospel. And now they perceive something about that. What do they perceive? Oh, that is something that does not rot. You ever see that congregation? The whole world is going to rot. What is it worth? Now, those daughters of Jerusalem, they perceive that. They don't know so much. They're just young. But they say, that is now something. That is now something. If I have that, then I have something that will last. That is drawing them, those daughters, in the way of the gospel, of that chariot, as they will be led by that chariot unto God Himself. And then there is a second thing. You know what that is? They smell something. Don't have to know too much to smell something, right, children? Don't have to be so knowledgeable. You don't have to have the maturity of faith. But you need to have faith. It must be true faith to smell. And they smell something that is so sweet. Oh, the blessedness of that service. The Lord Jesus, He says, wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, has so much in it. And then they hear of that straight gate, that narrow way. And then they see this man, that woman, or another child. And the burden, and the affliction, and the trial, but they smell something. Do you smell it too? Or it is smelt by those daughters of Jerusalem, the chariot of the wood of Lebanon. He made the pillars thereof of silver. What is a pillar? That is a column, an upright column. These chariots, they had four upright columns in the corners to hold up the cover. They were the pillars. They are for support, strong, stable, constant. So representing something that has an enduring perseverance. Oh, we find that in the Word. What do we find in the Word of God that may be represented by those pillars? Or you can ask the church. When they are led in that chariot, such we find are the promises that are in that Word of God. Do you know what we read in the Word of God? The Lord says, then I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from all thy filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. You ever read that? And when you read that, something happened in your heart. A new heart will I give unto you. And a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take the stony heart out of your flesh. And I will give you a heart of flesh. Oh, do you ever read that? And what happened in your heart? Nothing? Or something? The promises. Oh, then ask the people. Does that belong to you? No. No. But reading, listening, searching, hoping, the Lord says in His Word, I said not unto the seed of Jacob, seek ye me in vain. You know what that is doing to that people? The daughters of Jerusalem, the pillars thereof of silver, precious, precious. And they're standing there, so solid. It is so sure. And more precious to their people than all the silver that can be found in that word of God. He made the pillars thereof of silver. The bottom thereof of gold. What is the bottom? Bottom is your substructure. The bottom is the foundation. What is now the foundation of the gospel? Oh, that lies in the covenant of God. It lies in the covenant of redemption. It lies in an oath that is sworn between the Father and the Son. It is the bottom. It is the bottom of that chariot. Oh, one who rides in that chariot can never fall through. Can never fall through. The bottom thereof of gold. Oh, it is lying on a foundation of the faithfulness of God. Heaven and earth shall pass away. My word shall not pass away. Oh, that is not immediately that bride, she understands what that bottom is made out of. She needs to be instructed. Step by step. You know what she sees first? She sees those pillars first. First, she sees the pillars. Maybe just one. And that is drawing her. Later on, the Lord will show her what that pillar is standing on. What the promise of the Lord is standing on. and I will become for her such an object of faith. To give unto her a stability and an assurance as she is riding, as she is being carried in that chariot of the gospel. Oh, the bride sees it all. In the exercises of faith, she declares it to those daughters of Jerusalem, the bottom thereof of gold, the covering of it of purple. What is that? It is scarlet. It is the color of blood. Shed blood. The blood of the sacrifices. The blood of the covenant. Overhead. Protection. Shade. From the sun. From the heat. Oh, the blood. And there is nothing that can touch that people, that can harm them upon that way, because that heat that has been felt already, there is something for her to learn there. She does not understand it all. Solomon has made the chariot. It is complete for her. She only needs to be picked up in it. And step by step, then the Lord is going to instruct her what it means to be carried in his chariot. Who made that covering? Christ himself. It was costly. It cost him his life. A covering of purple, the midst thereof being paved with love for the daughters of Jerusalem. Oh, love that is now put over that bottom of gold, just as a pavement. The word speaks about a pattern, actually. Like you put a puzzle together, children, and then it all fits together in a certain pattern. Love. Cannot always see how that all fits together. And yet it does. That is put together, that cushion, for those daughters of Jerusalem. It is so very soft. Oh, that gospel that is so tender. And Christ has made a chariot that is so very, very tender for his daughters of Jerusalem. Because this is now what she feels. My doctrine that shall distill as the dew, we read. Oh, we say, that is so gentle. That is something that you cannot even feel in the mornings. And that dew is laying there upon the grass. Oh, so that coming of Christ is in the life of those daughters of Jerusalem. Oh, it is paved with love. They are not strangers of love. Are you a stranger of love? Of the love of God. Really? Oh, that is so sad, is it not? That we have no love for him. Does not his goodness lead us to repentance? Oh, those daughters of Jerusalem, they are not strangers of love. Because the Lord, he is pouring out the love in their hearts. But do you know what they do not know yet? They do not understand yet the greatness of his love. That is now something they still need to understand. Herein is love, not that we loved him, but that he loved us. And that he sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sins, or paved with love. In the midst thereof, every fall of the people is padded as they are instructed in the things of the gospel. Every rebuke because they need to be rebuked. Every rebuke that is made to be covered with the love of Christ, like when he looked upon Peter. And he looked upon Peter. Did not say anything. And then Peter knew. And then Peter wept. There is no wrath for the daughters of Jerusalem, only love to break their heart and to draw their heart unto himself. So tender is Christ for his people, so soft his gentleness. Hath made me great, O congregation. This is now that gospel chariot whereby Christ is sending for his people, for his daughters of Jerusalem, to fetch them, to bring them unto himself. But now that communion that was now set before us in this morning hour, the true partaking thereof, the greatest privilege that a person can receive between the cradle and the grave. Oh, but then we see so many. Oh, must you then testify that you miss this? But are there some? We don't know, because we don't know all of your hearts. Are there some that are riding yet in that chariot, that are being instructed in the things of the Lord? Are there some who hear and who say, oh, if I only could also be picked up in such a chariot? You desire that? To be led in that way that leads back unto God. That is the purpose of the preaching. That is the purpose of the reading. Or, congregation, is there nothing? Nothing at all. Historical faith sits unmoved under the preaching of heaven and hell. How many times has that chariot now come? How old are you? How many times has that chariot appeared and been waiting while that gospel, law and gospel, while that has been preached unto you? How many times has the calling not gone out? Or would you now enter into that chariot? How many times? How long suffering has the Lord been to send that chariot and to have that chariot wait there every time that word is preached. And we have said, I will not have this man to reign over me. And why? Because we do not want to confess our sinnership, our death. We do not want to humble ourselves. We do not want to be the black one. We do not want to give him the glory. Oh, then he pleads, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often would I not have gathered thee? As a hen doth gather her chickens under her wings, and he would not. Oh, is it so? It's going to be a last time. A last time that that chariot comes. When we leave now, chariot leaves too. Do you say, well, we have to wait now till Thursday night? Do we have to wait now till Sunday? No, you don't. No, you don't. You like the chariot to come again? Open the Word of God. The sermons that are preached, you can get them so easy now, young people. And every time you do that, oh, then remember that that chariot is there. And it is waiting for a broken heart, for a contrite spirit. Oh, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. One day is going to be the last time. The chariot is going to come. And the chariot is going to go. Oh, do seek that you will not be left behind with your children. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, it is made by thee. Wilt thou remember us? For we need to be converted. There is no desire unless thou givest it unto us. Oh, could it please thee to bless thy word and sacrament this day, to leave behind a saving impression of thy beauty, of thy goodness, of thy mercy, and of thy grace. Oh, take us, Lord, by heart and by hand, the oldest to the youngest. Be thou with us in this night, in the week to come. Remember when we hope to gather in thy house for the opening of our school and the other meetings, the school board that must meet. And when others will speak, Lord, thou knowest all that will take place in preparations for the instruction of our children, that thou may be on the right and on the left. Prepare our teachers also, our administrators and school board, wilt thou help them, and make them also instruments for the true welfare of our seed. Or we may acknowledge thee for thy help in this day. Do forgive all our sins. For Jesus' sake, amen. 134. Within thy temple, Lord, in that most holy place, we on thy loving kindness dwell, the wonders of thy grace. 1, 2, and 3 of 134. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessed.